This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Getting tired of your ism, schism, game, dying to go to heaven in a Jesus' name, Lord. We know and we understand. Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't.
And good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Thursday morning, Teresa Mitchell is coming up next with Press Watch. It's news you're not supposed to know. And that is coming up next.
KBOO Radio is a proud media sponsor of the 28th annual Martin Luther King Day event. Keep Alive the Dream, an annual tribute to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., produced by the World Arts Foundation. This year's event will take place at the New Beginnings Conference Center, 3300 Northeast 172nd Place in Portland. KBOO will again broadcast the annual celebration in its entirety. More information about this live broadcast can be found at kboo.fm/2013MLK.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New mobile applications available for iPhone and Android. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me as I attempt to give you the tools to destroy corporate hegemony and destroy billionaire rule. This is the news you're not supposed to know. New Year's resolution, destroy corporate hegemony. Can we all just admit now that the United States of America is rotten to the core? Let me count the ways. It's an apartheid state that has more black men under chains than in 1860. The Jim Crow drug war, our special legacy to world history. Meanwhile, we sink trillions into dominating the planet with hundreds of military bases and thousands of nuclear weapons. Yesterday, the Obama administration blew up another car full of Pakistani human beings with no declaration of war, no trial, no word they deserve such a fate. But the assertion of the generals and the slavering stenography of the corporate-owned media, and by that phrase, I most certainly include PBS and NPR. Insurgent this, you toadying bastards. Rotten to the core, as in capitalist to the core. We're so propagandized by corporate capitalism that we think the purpose of our lives is to get a job. What does that mean? But to consign our productive years as serfs for the enrichment of undeserving loafers. Most of us live in perfectly quiet neighborhoods where we're afraid to walk outdoors because of boogeymen that exist only in our imaginations. Imaginations filled with fear by watching television news coverage and television dramas consisting of angry cops solving every evening's dramatic problems by shooting handguns at snarling nonconformists. Is it any wonder people hoard handguns? Everyone has their own problems. And see there on the television every night on that tutor, the one that taught you how to add numbers and identify colors. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Those problems can be solved in seconds with a handgun. Every time. We can watch reruns of 24, which had 67 favorable depictions of torture in its first 5 seasons. Watch torture on Alias, or Lost, or Law & Order. It always works within seconds, showing up the ineffective namby-pamby wannabe heroes. Funny how it works in circles. The war industry is huge, so it generates profits and excites Hollywood toadies, who promote the military and its belligerent social policies with wretched torture programs, which popularize war. And we go around the circle again. My point here is that this society is sick. It's not an accident or a temporary deviance or an understandable mistake. New Year's resolution, destroy corporate hegemony. The United States is a monster by design. It's working great. The planet is being destroyed, and that's really going to be profitable for the super rich, the only people that matter. Half the northern polar ice melted last year, and the mining and oil and gas industries are knocking themselves over, trying to get to the sea floor. The banking industry works great, too, for its super rich owning class. They've been handsomely rewarded for the crisis that they brought on, and not even substantially punished for cheating at their own interest offer rates game, nor for banking billions of the illegal drug industry's profits, even as U.S. citizens go to prison by the millions for participating in the same racket. That's not a temporary deviance. That's a rollicking success for a racket that was always intended to parasitize the masses. Who are the masses? You and me. So in their derivatives scheme, which has put up more wagers on wagers that then can be paid with literally all the money in the world, will resume its disastrous collapse. Their own analysts say so, and that's going to be just fine with them because they'll dodge the consequences and the parasites own you, so you will pay, not them. This is why I have limited patience with the Democratic Party. Sure, the Republicans are even worse prostitutes for the owning class, but the Democrats are poised to balance their warmongering, plutocrat-licking budget on the backs of the poor, disabled, and elderly. In other words, on our backs, because every one of us, think about it, is or will become poor, disabled, and or elderly. And unfortunately, that's going to hit many of us at the same time. And it's pitiful to see people accepting the blame. Blame yourself. Blame your neighbor. Blame poor choices for the pittance you receive. Blame queers. Blame Hispanics. Blame blacks. Blame anyone but the totalitarian, hierarchical, corporate rich for the conditions that those rich bring about. Meanwhile, the Democrats talk about bipartisan compromise, when what they really mean to do is use the snarling reactionary dogs of the Republican Party to set the table for the rich agenda so they can look reasonable. So they can look like reasonable and liberal people in promoting most of it, including the destruction of Social Security. Social Security, the pittance that we have used for 70 years, the pay-it-forward pittance to keep our homeless elderly in ravioli and sleeping bags. New Year's resolution, destroy corporate hegemony. It's a sick, rotten society. It's a police state at home and a terror and a menace to the citizens of the world, and it's working perfectly for the people who own it. Not you. You will never, ever be one of those people. Thank Providence for saving you from such karma. Whose society is it, anyway? Should a society belong to less than 1% of its citizens? Why do we give unassailable political power to the billionaire Walmart heirs who have never and will never work a day in their lives? Why can our trillions in national wealth not be dedicated to a better life for us and for everyone? What is a purpose of a society? Is it to maintain hierarchies in place, no matter how violent, poisonous, or self-destructive? But, pardon me for saying so, that is the purpose of the U.S. That is why peaceful, sweet Occupy was met with pepper spray torture and billy club violence and ridiculous propaganda, which most of us watched and thought that it was horrible, violent Occupy, because no one's allowed to effectively question the base of the society that we live and work and die to serve the very, very, very few. You're listening to Press Watch. Time is 9:08 Pacific time. This is KBOO Portland. You may hear some ticking. Not a lot of ticking because I'm in the KBOO studios here at 20 Southeast 8th. And right now the counts per minute on my Geiger counter are 19. Nothing get particularly... Oh, it's up to 22. But it's probably averaging around 20. And nothing to get particularly excited about. But this may get your attention. The Journal of Environmental Science and Technology reports in a new study that the Fukushima radiation plume contacted North America at California with the greatest exposure in Central and Southern California, and that Southern California's seaweed tested over 500% higher for radioactive iodine-131 than anywhere else in the U.S. and Canada. Projected paths of the radioactive atmospheric plume emanating from the Fukushima reactors, best described as airborne particles or aerosols, and subsequent atmospheric monitoring showing it coming in contact with the North American continent at California with greatest exposure in the Central and Southern California. Government monitoring sites in Anaheim, Southern California, reported peak airborne concentrations of I-131 at 1.9 PCI M-3. I have no idea what that means. It's a lot. Anaheim's where Disney is located. This information comes from an article, Fukushima Radiation Plume Hits Southern and Central California, on Washington's blog. And they write, E&E News summarizes the data Corona Del Mar got the highest in Southern California, 2.5 becquerels per kilogram dry seaweed. Santa Cruz got 2,000 becquerels per kilogram in dry seaweed. And Simon Fraser University in Canada also tested North American seaweed after Fukushima. Samples of dehydrated seaweed taken on March 15th near the North Vancouver Seabus Terminal count was zero. That was March 15th, 2011. On the 22nd of that year, it was 310 becquerels per kilogram. By March 28th, it was 380. Radioactive debris is starting to wash up on the Pacific coast, and because the Japanese are burning radioactive materials instead of disposing of them, radioactive rainouts will continue for some time. Of course, the government is doing everything it can to, they write, help citizens, and then they strike that out, cover up what's occurring. And instead of doing much to protect the citizens from Fukushima, Japan, the U.S., and the EU are all just raising the radiation levels they deem safe. Nuclear expert Arnie Gunderson says that high-level friends in the State Department told him that Hillary Clinton signed a pact with her counterpart in Japan, agreeing that the U.S. will continue buying seafood from Japan despite that food not being tested for radioactive materials. And the Department of Energy is trying to replace the scientifically accepted model of the dangers of low-dose radiation based on voodoo science, specifically DOE's Lawrence Berkeley Labs used a mutant line of human cells in a Petri dish, which was able to repair damage from low doses of radiation and extrapolated to the unsupported conclusion that everyone is immune to low doses of radiation. So more on that at Washington Blog. You're listening to Press Watch. And interesting thing that I note with the Geiger counter is that I take it away from surfaces and I get a lower count. So the amount of radiation currently in the air is lower. I'm picking up 27 counts per minute right now. It's been sitting on the counter here in Studio 2 at KBOO. And golly, it's up to 30 counts per minute. Still no big deal. I don't really pay attention until it gets to 100, which it hasn't done in my experience. Although I do notice consistently that if I hold this thing up in the air, the count is lower. I'm learning things about radioactivity. I also noticed when I tested radioactivity at University of Portland that the counts were considerably higher on moss growing on trees, and I have that number written down. I meant to bring it in. If I remember correctly, it was 24 or 27 on the tree and about 10 clicks differently away from the tree, and indeed that seems to be borne out now as I hold the thing up in the air. And perhaps you can hear it clicking. You want to click for me? Click for me. It's scared now. Oh, there it goes. Okay. So not a very radioactive microphone. In Michael Shusadovsky's Global Research, an article, Global Warfare Preparing for World War III Targeting Iran. This is another subject that I bring up again and again because it's an ongoing crisis. The U.S. continues to surround Iran, and there are military bases, warships, huge military supplies being given to Israel, including bunker buster bombs and refueling aircraft to allow those giant bombs to be delivered by Israel's U.S.-supplied aircraft. It's something that's always cooking, and certainly the leaders in Israel always have the heat up on it. This article says, humanity is at a dangerous crossroads. War preparations to attack Iran are in an advanced state of readiness. High-tech weapon systems, including nuclear warheads, are fully deployed. This military venture has been on the Pentagon's drawing board since the mid-1990s. First Iraq, then Iran, according to a declassified 1995 U.S. Central Command document. Escalation is part of the military agenda, while Iran is the next target altogether with Syria and Lebanon. This strategic military deployment also threatens North Korea, China, and Russia. And he writes, since 2005, the U.S. and its allies, including America's NATO partners in Israel, have been involved in the extensive deployment and stockpiling of advanced weapon systems. The air defense systems of the U.S., NATO member countries, and Israel are fully integrated. This is a coordinated endeavor of the Pentagon, NATO, Israel's Defense Force, with the active military involvement of several non-NATO partner countries, including the frontline Arab states, members of NATO's Mediterranean Dialogue and Istanbul Cooperation Initiative, India, Indonesia, Singapore, Australia, among others. NATO consists of 28 NATO member states. The roles of Egypt, the Gulf states, and Saudi Arabia are of particular relevance. And this article is a little out of date in terms of Egypt. But it's an interesting read, and I urge you to look it up on globalresearch.ca. Particularly the maps are helpful. If you look at the maps that they provide, showing oil pipelines. There's one particularly that shows oil pipelines going through the stands, going through Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan. And you can see surrounding Iran, all of these U.S. client states, including all the stands, and Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, on the southern and southwestern borders. And Iran's a pretty big country. It's much bigger than Iraq. And you see that it is free of military bases and U.S. oil producing. And it is surrounded in such a way with the countries shaded that do have those things that you can see, well, in fact, that it is surrounded. Very interesting article. Was produced a couple of years ago, still very relevant, to stay up to date and to, I guess, gain whatever advantage we possibly can get to prevent the U.S., if that can actually happen. If the U.S. Could respond to popular pressure, it seems almost a ridiculous idea, then it is best that we be well-informed and aware that all of this death-dealing equipment is surrounding Iran, and the plans are on the board. Now, an alternate, I thought there was a very relevant article for the first of the year, The 12 Biggest Right-Wing Lies About America. And I thought it was very useful, and I thought I would share part of that with you. That's alternet.org. Starts with, and it is by R.J. Escal, and it starts with Austerity Works, and he writes, last year he said that austerity economics is dead. It is. Unfortunately, nobody told the politicians. They're still trying to force it on the people of Europe, even as its effects make the economies there progressively worse. They're trying to force more of it on us, too. The Republicans want to decimate Social Security, Medicare, roads and highways, education programs for the poor, and the Democrats offer a more modest form of austerity. But austerity is exactly what the president last proposed to Congress. If austerity is so good for us, he writes, why are they trying to terrify us with the fiscal cliff? Their monster in the closet is austerity. Apparently, they don't see the irony in that. But there's something else they shouldn't overlook. Obama will never run for office again, but most of the Democrats on the Hill will. Hope they don't forget that, because we won't. And, I would like to comment on that, and I would like to invite your comments on that. The number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. This attack on Social Security and the fiscal cliff is transparent to me, and I wonder how easy it is to see. This is something I stick my nose in all the time, but obviously this is the good cop, bad cop approach. The government, the fully corporate-owned government, both houses, both parties, would like to attack Social Security. They're really kind of upset about the fact that you can get your can of ravioli and take a long time dying, and they would much prefer to put all of those billions, even $1 trillion, into the stock market where it can be frittered away, squandered, and used for more derivatives gambling. And the also helpful engineer just told me the name of the caller, which I promptly, okay. And Joe is on the air.
Good morning. Hey, by the way, did you bring your radiological monitor along today to give us a reading of the radiation from Fukushima?
Yes, you're tuning in a little late, I guess.
Oh, I did. I didn't tune in until about 5 minutes ago.
Yep.
Oh, what was the reading today?
Been there, done that. Well, right now I'm getting 24 in the studio and 12 in the air.
Wow. So that's about, according to one I talked to you about once before, 23 is about twice the normal background radiation then, right?
Well, as far as I can tell, if counts per minute are transferring in the way that I thought that they were, I'm going to have to do more research on this.
Okay, well, it doesn't really matter. The main thing I called about is something I happen to have on in the background. I happen to flip on the TV to local cable access,
uh-huh.
And there's a local cable access show, which is kind of the equivalent of KABU on the TV, and it's called Alliance for Democracy with David Delk. Maybe you know who he is. But anyway, he had Lloyd Marbette, and I believe the guy's name was Meek. I don't know his first name. But here's some good news for the future. Not all is bleak for 2013. And you'll have to go to their website, which I don't have a computer, but their website for Alliance for Democracy is afd.org. A is in Apple, F is in Frank, D is in David.org. And, but either for this year, 2013, or next year for 2014, in the primary campaign, there's going to be an additional ballot. Before, you can only vote in the primary if you're a Republican or a Democrat, and this is going to allow anybody who is a registered independent party, which I think is going to also take in the people from the other independent parties, not just the independent party, quote-unquote, but possibly from the Working Families Party, the Pacific Green Party, etc. But you will be able to vote in that, and you'll also be able to run as a candidate for any of the partisan positions like governor, secretary of state, attorney general, that kind of thing.
Well, that's interesting. Could you give that website again, Joe?
You have to. Here's the stipulation is if
could you give that website again, Joe? Could you give that website again?
Oh, it's A as in Apple, F as in Frank, D as in David, AFD.org.
Okay, thank you very much. I do have another caller, so I'm going to go to the next caller. Thanks for your call, Joe. And you're on the air.
Is that me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad you're staying on this Iran case. This is really serious, and the media in the U.S., of course, we all know is completely co-opted into shilling NATO's line on all of these things, and I think we have to put even more pressure into the progressive media, where you pointed out the encirclement of Iran. What almost never makes it to even the progressive media are all the covert ops that have been going on since the beginning of the Iraq War, for sure.
I frankly admire their tenacity and defiance in this.
Oh, they are the bulwark standing up against the empire, and when other satraps try to bolt from the empire and give them support, we see what happens. We saw how Gaddafi was smacked down seriously, and how the Ajit prop and blatant lies that fed into that campaign, and they're doing the same thing in Syria, and it goes on and on. And one of the saddest parts is how this propaganda can get into democracy now, and how, you know, and I think really somebody should take them to task on this.
I think you should write them.
I've written.
Oh, I see.
Believe me.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, thanks for staying on the case.
Thank you for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Been talking about warfare. Been talking about the rottenness of the U.S. corporate-owned government. And making the point that basically what I'm getting around to saying here is we could have a better world. We really could. We have to start imagining that. And I would like to imagine that. I would like to imagine that transformation in a way that is as nonviolent as possible. But I don't think that we can reform Democrats and Republicans. I think that they're in the pay of the corporations. The corporations are beholden to the tiny fraction of the 1%. They absolutely own us, and they're not going to let go under any circumstances. They may have 1,000 dodges, and they'd love to make you think that you have democracy, but you won't until you grab it. That's my point. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. I was talking about austerity, and converse to that, government spending. The second delusion on the article is that we need less government spending. That's not true. The notion that government spending is our problem, it's not. In fact, right now it's the solution. We need more jobs to stimulate the economy. Without them, large segments of the population continue to live in a prolonged state of deprivation unless government does something about it. We need more, better education and more advancement opportunities for our children, and our roads, bridges, and schools are crumbling all around us. Spending cuts aren't even the solution to the federal deficit, not in the short term. Government spending falls as a percentage of GDP when the whole economy grows, and the way to make it grow is by priming the economic pump and building for the future, not with short-sighted spending cuts. Know who's a real job creator, he writes, someone with a job. Now, I want to cut from that and comment also that I believe that the Democrats and Republicans are interested in austerity because it's not about making things better. This isn't harsh, you know, tighten your belt sort of discipline that's going to make us all stronger and tougher, who will look in the future with a glint in our eye and suck in our guts and just work so much harder and we'll be better people, and that's a bunch of crap. It's not about that at all. It's about lowering your expectations, because what corporations want is instantaneously available, dirt cheap labor. I mean, what have they been doing for the last several decades? They've been going around the world getting instantaneous, dirt cheap labor, and they've been paying, we've been paying through our taxes, we've been paying for various dictators to ensure that people are so terrified that they will not stand up for their rights in these countries. And now it's all come back to roost. The chickens have come home to roost. The cows have come home. And they are mean chickens and cows, let me tell you, because they've had enough. I could go a little further with that metaphor, and I won't. And Chuck's on the air. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, morning. I just want to touch on a couple things. First, the issue of Iran is obviously nothing new. I want to recommend a couple books for the listeners. The author is Stephen Kinzer, and the first book is All the Shah's Men, which basically outlines step by step the efforts that we went through to overthrow Mossadegh back in the 50s.
1953.
That's right. It was the beginning of the end for U.S. Middle Eastern relations. The other book, also by Stephen Kinzer, is called Overthrow. It touches on Iran, but it also makes a little history about all of the other interventions that America's been involved in since the Spanish-American War.
That was a strange thing with Kinzer, because I watched his career, and he was so good with, what was his United Fruit expose called? Was it called Rotten Fruit or something like that? I can't remember what it was called, but anyway.
Something like that. That was also a good one.
It was good, and then during the Contra years, he just kind of went to the other side for a while. He would, you know, go into the Hilton in Managua and side with that accursed bishop. And it was disgusting, and now he seems to have to come back. But anyway, you're right, it is good reading.
But it shows a lot of the history of how things went on and how they're still going on. The manipulation of media here in America and in the countries that we're intervening in. And I think not just the fact that it talks about what happens in that particular country, but just showing the backgrounds, the ideologies, and the influences of the people in this country, in our government, that aren't necessarily elected officials that shape foreign policy across presidencies. I mean, you have the same people affecting policy across five or six different administrations, and it's looking back at history, it's been disastrous for us as a country and as regular working class people.
Well, I've found that after all these years of improved availability of information on the internet, it's still very important to read books. So I appreciate you bringing those up.
That's definitely it. And not enough people read. And it's all about history, because everything that's happened is going to happen again, and nothing's new. I mean, you read all the way back.
Nothing's new until we overthrow these parasites that rule us. Hey, thanks a lot for your call. Well, I would also like to say, before I ring off for today, that another quality of propaganda that is consistent and might catch you now and again is the fact that you'll be encouraged to look at the small picture. Like, look how mean those people we're attacking are. Look, they've raped women and all this sort of thing. Very important, of course. We don't want women being raped. Won't anybody being raped, but the thing to ask yourself is, what did Iran ever do to you? What did Iran ever do to you? Do you have the right to attack Iran? I think that you don't. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for more of the incomparable radio zine, including Parafoggering, Fight the Empire.
KBOO is proud to be a media sponsor of An Evening with Dr. Michelle Alexander, Wednesday, January 16th, 2013, from 5 to 9 p.m. at Emmanuel Temple, located at 1033 North Sumner Street. Dr. Alexander is the author of The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness. There will be a community fair, community panel, and Michelle will read from her book. For more info, go to kboo.fm.
Into a world I plunge, through my headphones, escaping to the streetlight. I begin to believe in destiny.
Well, good morning. This is Per Fagrang, and the show is Fight the Empire. And our guest is Christian Parente, author. He's written books on climate change and prisons and numerous articles. And we're going to talk about an article in The Nation magazine about the 40th anniversary of a book called Limits to Growth. Christian Parente, are you there? Oop, he's not there yet. Well, we're getting him momentarily. Well, we're going to talk about this book came out in 1972 called The Limits to Growth. And it was a book that kind of groundbreaking book. It made use of computer projections, a computer model of the world economy. And it was put together by researchers at MIT. And they fed in all kinds of information. Now, the thing about these computer models is that all the variables are public. I mean, it's there's nothing secret about it. They're right there. And so, if people have an argument with the model, they are free to change it any way they want and see how that works. And then, of course, when you make the model, you can come back later and see how it turned out. So that's and if we look at the models now, some of them have turned out pretty well. They're not meant to be predictions. They're meant